around next week.
Hey, I didn't realize I pressed record. I'm gonna hit the. That's our theme music. I was looking for the other sound bites. I can't do it.
Hi, this is Stuttering John Melendez from The Howard Stern Show. And for some really stupid reason, you're listening to
Insufferable Bastards.
Name for a podcast, morons.
Have you come across Brian? Hey, this is the Mobile Horror Companion. My name is Carlos Danger, and that's Brian Spears. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Hello.
Have you come across Anthony Acumia taking a giant dump on Stuttering John? He's recently posted to his
recently
YouTube page. Yeah,
I have not heard that yet.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Stuttering John has his podcast.
Yes.
And you know, he has a green screen behind him. And I guess in one of the recent podcasts, he's talking about whatever, and his green screen just falls over. And it's a live stream, right? So he gets up and, you know, he's dealing with it. And I mean, it happens like stuff like that. I mean, we just started this podcast on a technical mistake. But yeah, Cumia goes after him pretty hard there. And I guess there's that podcast, Who Were These Podcasts, which is like aligned with the Anthony Cumia world. They are always going after.
Is John suing one of those guys now? Another one?
I guess
He lost his lawsuit to
against Sirius. I know he's threatened. I don't really. I mean, my thing is, I'll listen to I mean, all right, I do not listen to Stuttering John's politics stuff.
No.
Because it's, I just, you know, I'll go elsewhere. There's a lot of political podcasts out there. I don't know why he's doing that once in a while, but that's like his whole thing now. What are these podcasts? It's just a radio show. You know what I mean? At least Stuttering John, he's not prepared. His green screen falls down. You know, there's no script. I kind of like that in a podcast. I guess it's what our crappy podcast is. I mean, maybe it's not going to get you a lot of listeners, but I mean, Who Are These Podcasts? Are like, it's like, you know, old school shticky formatted radio. Like they even sound like they have a radio voice. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know.
And they all spent years in radio, but radio doesn't exist. I think so. I think they're all like guys that, you know, I mean, like maybe not on air, but it sounds like they know what they're doing.
Right. Yeah. It sounds great. It's technically great and it's edited perfectly and it's very professional production, but yeah, everyone's sick of that. they were going after Tiger Belly a little bit, you know, because I keep trying to like these guys.
Tiger Belly is my new jam, man. And Bad Friends, I watch almost at least twice a week.
Bobby Kelly is a funny dude. Like, I mean, I was really obsessed with Tiger Belly for a while. I listened to all the back episodes and it kind of lost me. I don't know. Once the pandemic started, they weren't having guests as much. So, but I mean, you know, you can't sit there and do a podcast saying it's not a good show. So anyway, I don't know. That was, I don't know what made me think of
They were making fun of Bobby Lee and all that stuff. You said they were even picking on.
But why am I talking about? Oh, cause we did. So we have this.
Hi, this is Stuttering John.
That's where my train of thought was. That was our cameo.
Although I think it's one of the latest issues or one of the latest episodes of Tiger Belly. They shout out. They have those dudes that I don't like. They've been on Stern. They're like California guys that do like videos and like they talk like that. And they do like speeches at like they do like, hey, man, we're just here to party every day. I don't know.
I vaguely heard of them. They were on Stern.
Oh, yeah, they've been on Stern a couple times.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and now Bobby Lee had him on. He did their podcast. He was on.
I vaguely know who you're talking about. And these are the guys who got in trouble for partying during the pandemic. Like, I've seen headlines, but not.
They were giving out masks to people. Like, they went and did that. Like, they.
Oh, like, so, all right. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else then. I don't know who these guys are. It's
but anyway.
Perfect or whatever.
Kalila, right? That's his girlfriend's name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kalila said one of her favorite podcasts ever is that Cumtown. Because she's like, doesn't get how those people, she's like, those guys say things that I don't even know how they can get away with it. And they just don't care. But, you know, because I have been watching whenever they put new clips up on YouTube. they're kind of nutty, those guys.
Yeah, I've tried. Okay, so I'm really late to that. A guy I used to work with, I don't know if I want to name him because I don't know. I don't know if you want, can you publicly admit you listen to that? But I guess he's known about them forever, like that and what is it, a Chapo's Trap House. So I came across them on YouTube, Come Town, talking about like Steven Seagal movies and their takes on movies. Yeah. And they're kind of a kindred. I mean, they're much funnier than us. They're much more talented as broadcasters.
Well, they're also a little raw. You know what I mean? They're definitely not.
But what they're saying, we're kind of like, oh yeah, that's like, all right, if we had the perfect, if we, you know, that's what I would, if I had the talent, yeah, that's what I would be saying. And some, you know, their takes on movies are very funny. But then you go, I've tried to listen to like a full episode and it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like 70s porn. You know what I mean? You're just kind of like, I don't know how much of this I can take, man. That's enough.
I haven't done it, well, since he moved.
They're gross.
Joe Rogan, I can't watch a whole show, but I could listen to clips.
Right, yeah, that's where I'm like, well, Come Town, I'm even like, it has to be like they have to be talking about
a specific movie. Yeah, like a specific thing. Yeah,
I can't, I just can't.
I've only watched their movie stuff.
Well, yeah, and it's really hilarious. Yeah, so those are podcasts. Yeah, Joe Rogan changed his studio. You know, he moved to Austin.
Yeah, and
he had the bizarre space studio going for a while. And I guess like so many people were like, "This what is this? It looks bizarre." He changed it back to his like, you know, cool bro. But is that the one thing about the AV Club? They always call him Oprah. He's the Oprah for bros or whatever the hell it is. Which is
really,
it's exactly what he is. I mean, I listen to Joe Rogan. I like Joe Rogan to a certain point, but. I don't know. We don't really have an episode planned out this week, so we apologize for that. So we were going to talk about some things we've watched lately. But I want to ask you, Brian, and I guess by the time this comes out, this will be really late. But I don't subscribe to Sirius anymore. I haven't for a while just because I tried to tighten, or I just waste my money on other things now. But all right, so Stern goes on vacation.
Yes.
Which has caused a hullabaloo. I guess among fan, I don't Reddit. I mean, everybody on Reddit hates everything on Twitter, but everyone on Twitter hates everything. That's part of, you know, being on Twitter. But I was like, okay, well, Stern always takes unannounced long vacations. I didn't really react to it as a casual fan. I wasn't that offended. So what's the, well, you're
the guy that got surprised and subscribed. I mean, I was totally shocked. But am I upset? I don't know. He's missing 10 shows. If you really think 10 or 12 shows. Because he takes more of his time off in the summer. So I don't know. Like, I'm indifferent. You know, I have not. He's playing his long-form interviews. If it's somebody I like, I might listen to it. He had Bill Burr on the other day. I listened to that. But or I'll just go to 101 where they play older stuff. Or I listen. This will be the summer I listen to them. You know, Outlaw Country, you know, or Lithium, or, you know.
Have you ever given Jim and Sam a try? Jim Norton? Can't get into it?
I'm just going to say this, and I don't want to offend any. I hate wrestling. After maybe, what was Mr. T in WrestleMania? You know, after maybe part three WrestleMania, I went and saw two on a Jumbotron, the first two.
Closed circuit television, man.
Yeah. So, but after, I want to say after I found out Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Iron Sheik were caught on the Jersey Turnpike with cocaine in the same car together, I was like, whoa. And that's when he was waving the flag, you know, like America. And I was like, whoa. All right. I always knew it was sort of fake, but now it's just, yeah, this is fake. Jim and Sam do too much wrestling,
they talk
for
about
me
a lot,
sometimes, huh? And when they have a guest on, sometimes it's good, like if it's a movie guy once in a blue moon, because it seems like they definitely watch the movies more than, like, if I'm a Stern fan, I don't think Stern watches any of those movies. He just has a staff of people that give him notes and bullet points, because again,
because he's never asking, like,
I loved about Howard Stern was he was honest and said, She's Gotta Have It is his favorite movie, you know, at the time that year. And like, I don't mind that. That's the guy I want to listen. Like, I don't, you know, like he discovered Breaking Bad, at, you know, 20 years after Breaking Bad. Yeah. So, you know,
I've been listening to, I mean, the one podcast I'm listening to listening to like religiously now is Kevin Brennan. I'm almost like, I don't know if I should say that out loud, but the Kevin, I'm a Patreon supporter, $3 a month for Kevin Brennan. And I don't know. He's so cranky and like he has guests on, but they're like comics I've never heard of. And he's sort of rude to them, but they're all, and no, they're all like old. They're all older than me and you. None of them really.
But get they're still like openers, so he can be mean to them, and they have to take it too.
Well, it's all they don't really fight back, but and you know then there's the Chad Zumick guy who's been like arrested a bunch of times, and he's got like
captain.
Yeah, the captain hat guy. He's got a whole backstory to him. They're just like, it's such a motley crew, and they're doing it on Zoom. They're doing exactly what we're doing, which is like inspiring and depressing at the same time.
I think we have better decor. Because he just has, like, you can see he's got the Catholic, you know, cross behind him on a dresser.
His wife. He always points out it's his wife's. If anybody brings it up, he points out, yes, that's my wife's. Yeah, yeah. He's just, like, the put-upon husband who's, like, a good father, but, like, you know, just angry at the world. One of their last episodes, you know, now, you know, every time you do Zoom now, it says it gives you the notification this is being recorded, you know, because like, I mean, Connecticut, it's supposed to be you have to have two party rule. Both people have to be consent to being recorded. So one of his guests, you know, this is like the experience tech level of his guests. Am I supposed to hit continue? I didn't. They didn't edit that out. They just left it right in there. So there's something about Kevin Brennan I just really like. And the fact that, you know, he doesn't like his own brother who's wildly successful. And he's just, I don't know.
It seems like he would have had more radio shows if he was less confrontational.
Especially at this point, like, yeah, he just made some kind of career choice where he's like, oh, I'm going to say what I want.
Yeah, I can say what I want now. Because he would have worked with Compound Media. He was part of that. Yeah, right? He was part of that whole.
Yeah, that's where it sort of came out. But
He has a meltdown right on the air, which is awesome.
Right. Yeah. I think like this attitude matched with the old Stern would have been great. He would have been like this. Kevin Brennan would have been gold on the old Stern, you know, up until like whatever already left. But anyway, yeah, that's Kevin Brennan, New Yorker Kevin Brennan. But all right, so stuff we saw lately, Brian. Let's just get into it before my fat ass just melts away down here. What have you watched lately? You want me to go first? You to go first?
You can, the big thing that I watched that I will, I guess, highly recommend in the sense that think John Travolta, the fan, is Russell Crowe in, The Fanatic. Think Russell Crowe in Unhinged.
It's that bad?
I think so. Wow. Maybe not as bad as that. It's not as, but it's a craptacular of a movie. You can drive a 747 through the plot holes that don't make any sense or like, why are they doing this? And it's Russell Crowe. No spoilers here. Opening shot. The guy's a villain. Like there's no redemption. He is just a cold-blooded killer.
He's a serial killer or something like that?
He's a guy that cuts off a woman. Well, I mean, I guess there's some other, there's a little prologue.
Wait, but this whole movie is based on road rage, you're saying?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's not, you find out there's a little more backstory that, you know, you'll find out and discover more.
His dog was hit by a car or something?
No, he's a bona fide scumbag. Like, he's a scumbag this whole movie. And it's not even, I don't know how to describe it. Like, why did he do this movie? Like, why? And I can't say he's bad in it because he's scary. But it's also the plot for all of this to happen. Like, all that has to happen is for her to go to cops and say there's some crazy maniac following me.
Never does
like,
that.
They never do any of that. Does
it
take place
over the course of one? Is it like The Hitcher, sort of?
Yeah, I mean, it's one day and it's a quick, it doesn't seem that long. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it unravels fairly quickly, but it gets a body count, man. Like, he kills people in a diner. Like, he's just sitting there talking to people videotaping it. And then he just walks away.
Does he run them over? Or
like, beats the hell out of one guy. Like, you know, like, it's a whole thing. Then it's all this convoluted, like he has her cell phone and then he has a tracking mechanism on it. Dude, it's all this stupid stuff where he's just a bad guy killing, chasing this woman down because she didn't say sorry.
Who is it, like Halle Berry or something?
No, I'll be honest. I don't. The woman was not recognizable to me. She could be on something and be famous, and I wouldn't know.
Where do we see this? Do you have to rent it, or is it on?
No, it was free. It was streaming? On Prime.
Okay, Amazon Prime.
So, you know, I think it is fold your laundry. You got laundry to do this week. It might be slightly better than a laundry movie, and just in a sense, it's just so, dude, it's so dumb.
I got to see this now because now
I was almost like laughing.
How many diners does he kill? How many people in the diner does he kill?
Well, he kills one guy, but like he massacres this one guy. He kills this other, like it's just.
Just randomly, does the guy like give him a dirty look first?
It's because he's involved. This is where the plot doesn't make sense. He like searches out people on this woman's phone.
So he kills her contacts?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what he does. He kills her contacts.
Oh, this movie sounds great.
It's
unhinged.
Yeah, it's unhinged.
I'm going to seek that out. All right. So I'm going to recommend, I found it through Amazon Prime. I do that stuff on Amazon Prime where like, oh, it's free. Let me, I'll watch it on TV and I'll sort it by what's free. And then I'll be like, oh, wait, what's Showtime got going on? And then apparently I subscribed to Showtime like 8 months ago. And it's going on my credit card. But you know what I mean? That's what these $5 a month things kill you. But, you know, but then every once in a while I'm like, oh, yeah, wait, I have Showtime. And then I watched, documentary. I have no idea when it came out. It's called The Kings. It's about Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, and Roberto Duran. Like, I was a big boxing fan when I was a little kid, you know? So I remember all those fights, and it tells each of their stories. And it's good. It's very good. It's really sad, though, to hear. Marvin Hagler passed away just last year.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is Marvin Hagler is the one that he was the one guy that didn't fight past his prime. He had one last fight with Sugar Ray Leonard. He lost by decision. It was very controversial. A lot of people thought he won the fight. Excuse me. And he just walked away from the sport. He was like, you know, done. Where all the other guys kept going. And Tommy Hearns now has clearly got something going on. You know, so you hear him talking. I don't know when they taped the conversation with him recently, but clearly, like, it, you know, his speech is slurred. It's sad. You know, boxing just was a brutal, or is a brutal sport. But, outside of that, it's just, you know, these guys, that was like the greatest era of boxing. What I didn't like about it, though, they sort of force in Reaganism. You know what I mean? They try to tie it to like, oh, the Challenger
explosion. Because it was the 80s. They go so 80s with it.
Every documentary now has to be like, you know, like everything.
This is LA riots. In history.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if boxing I don't know if this particular, these four guys fighting has anything to do with, you know, the larger
cultural
macro scene. Okay. Yeah. It had nothing to do with, it was greed is good. Like that, I could, you know, come on. It was like boxing was boxing, and that was a golden era of boxing. So that bothered me. I saw somebody on Twitter like had a really pretentious tweet about how it wove the tail into the whatever, and I was like, I remember that. And like, no, it wasn't, you know, but it was something in those days, like fights would be on either on HBO, but a lot of them were on just regular Channel 7 on a Saturday afternoon.
On a Saturday afternoon,
you could watch great boxers, you know, so that's my memory of it. You know, something you could watch,
and especially that era, because like I went up to your house and we watched a fight, but it wasn't a Tyson fight, it was like a
before Tyson. This is the years like, before Tyson.
It was a white guy fighting Jerry Cooney or something like that.
Jerry Cooney. It was probably Jerry Cooney, Larry Holmes.
Could have been like a second one? Was there two of them, or was
Jerry
only
Cooney
one?
Then he fought. I mean, he got killed by Mike Tyson, but his big one was Jerry Cooney versus Larry Holmes.
It was probably that thing.
Oh, and I think, you know what he fought? He fought George Foreman, I think, at one point. It was probably
But Cooney, it was in Foreman. The '80s. It was early. Like we were young.
I actually have Cooney Foreman on VHS somewhere, like the old tape that I taped from HBO. So anyway, that's The Kings. Any boxing fans, I mean, anybody would enjoy that. And also it's like Marvin Hagler was this underappreciated champion because he didn't trash talk. You know what I mean? He wasn't like a like Sugar Ray Leonard was like the superstar. He was like the Oscar De La Hoya of his day, where Hagler was just this, you know, dedicated.
It was his job. He was a professional. It was just like he was that was his job.
Yeah. And like really like, you know, just smart guy. And he just didn't, he had no time for BS. That was his whole attitude. Like he was like, you know, he trained crazy. But he was sort of the least appreciated of all of them. Roberto Duran, on the other hand,
wasn't he crazy?
Like to this day, insane. He and just like totally unfiltered. He guy would be a great podcast. He's like Roddy Piper at Monster Mania, where he would tell these insane stories. That's Roberto Duran.
Did he have substance abuse problems?
He still, he was like, I don't mean to like be, he would say like, after he beat Sugar Ray Leonard, and then he spent the next like 6 months, you know, getting laid and getting drunk. He said every day. So he's like, that's all I care about. And he was speaking in Spanish, you know? And then when they forced him into the rematch, and he's like, I was in no condition to fight. I was drunk all the time, you know? And like, he's good though. Like Roberto Duran is like, he's lovable, but he's a total train wreck. You know, he's the one that was like the complete train wreck, and he fought forever. And he fought Hagler, and Hagler destroyed him. But after that fight, he walked over to, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard's whole thing was he would retire and then not retire. And he was sort of scared of Marvin Hagler, it seems. And after Roberto Duran lost to Hagler, Duran walked up to Leonard and said, this guy's not a boxer. You box this guy, you'll beat him. And that Sugar Ray Leonard then returned for that one last fight.
That one last fight
against Hagler. Although actually Leonard went on to fight a bunch of bums after that and like started, you know, his way past his prime. But I'm not going to edit this. I'm too tired. I'm blabbing. But anyway, that's the Kings. God damn it. Throw it back to you. What else are you watching?
That new Bill and Ted movie.
No.
Hey, dude, man, not what am I going to watch? Yeah, like what am I going to watch? You know, I watched the last season of Arliss too.
Oh man, are you all right? I have I got my tooth pulled a couple of weeks ago. Do you need some
I don't know. It's just, what else is there to watch? You know, I'm just trying to explore. I'm also like stuck on HBO Max pretty much all day long. So just anything that still pops
to
up
this
there,
day, it's the weirdest thing to navigate. I never know what's going on with that.
And I just, you know,
is it any good? Johnny Menta loves it.
The Bill and Ted. All right, I will say this. I hate Bill and Ted. I hate all those movies. I was explaining to this guys at work this week. I don't like when you make stoners stupid deliberately, like where they're just dumb. And I always felt Bill and Ted were just, and also it was a PG movie PG-13 movie. So it's like, dude, where's my car? You can't show those guys getting effed up. So what the hell's the sense of making them stoners? Like, just, you know, them dumb guys.
You've taken Jeff Spicoli's character and then made it into a complete cartoon, an already cartoonish character, just over the top, Nick at Night cartoony.
And that's the thing. Everyone does a Spicoli, the dude from Days of Confused, Roy Cochran. The best stoner is Brad Pitt in True Romance. Like, even though they're funny and character-ish, they're still like characters. Everyone else just like, hey, man.
Cheech and Chong, you get a sense that Cheech and Chong are people. Yeah, they're
and they're funny, too. That's the other thing. Like, they're real people. I don't like Bill and Ted. But I'm not going to lie. This movie, I don't know, it was late at night. It's the story, their daughter, like, their plot line. I don't know. Keanu Reeves, I've always defended him, saying he's not a bad actor. Like, he's horrible. And it's the other guy, like, Alex, you don't Winter. Even remember who he is. I mean, I know who he is, but like, it's like, oh, wow, you're finally in a movie again. You know what I mean? Like, I know he directs a lot. He does a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Does a lot of cons. But he does a lot of conventions. He's been talking about this movie forever.
But it's, their part of it is dumb. They have daughters that kind of do the same storyline. All they do is they're putting together a super group. And I just thought, all right, that's a lovable storyline. I'm trying to give it a positiveness. And for me, the movies always have like really cool makeups. So I watched it mainly for that. Like, I will be honest, like in the makeup community, it's a huge movie because they always have done like tons and tons of prosthetics. So I'm going to watch it for that. I probably like this one better than all of the other ones.
Oh, no kidding.
And this one also has a, because they have a storyline with kids in it, daughters, it's less Bill and Ted. Less greedy. I think that's, yeah, like, and
maybe I'll get my son to watch that with me then.
It's mindless. It's mindless. And, you know, he killed a couple hours.
People that sought that out the first day.
No, that I don't get. It's not that good. And it's not good. It's not good. But I could, you know, it's on Hulu. It's free. I'm just watching anything that's goddamn free.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I make up that money that we spent on Nobody, and then the next week it was cheaper.
yeah. The streaming services owe me. I get that too. Yeah, I'm staying up an extra hour to watch whatever. So, you know, I'm going to watch Sorcerer. I watched just this week. I don't think I got through all the episodes. It's the new season of I Think You Should Leave, that Netflix sketch show.
Okay.
Which is very funny. It's very funny. It was weird. It's probably not a show you should you should watch like 15 minutes of it and then come back. Like, it's to watch it all in a row is a little much, but it's very funny. I don't know. Did you watch that first season at all? Or
I don't think I finished it. Because you recommended it last time.
Yeah, it's weird. It's good. If you're into the first season, you'll like this one as well. There's just like, I just crack up when there's one, you know, they're in a boardroom at a big business table and they're just discussing a merger of two companies, and the star of the show, whatever his name is on a couch. And he just starts talking about, you know, he hasn't eaten because he's using his per diem from the company to buy shirts every day because he loves this one shirt store. And it's like, all right, that's weird. And then like an old man at the table, like basically says, well, why are you doing that? And he just, anytime the old man talks, he just starts screaming and cursing at him. F you, Roger. You know, just. And what's great about this, you can only take that for like 3 or 4 minutes. And these, you know, it is like, there's nothing, I don't think, more than 10 minutes. It's kind of like what SNL should be.
Okay. You know? Okay.
Just sort of just way out there and very short. So anyway, I watched that. Anything else you got?
No, I mean, a lot of YouTube, just clips of things. A lot of baseball fights. For some reason, I'm on a kick watching all vintage baseball.
Do you go right into the time Nolan Ryan beat up?
Yeah, that was a really, oh man, it was so good. Yeah.
Old man. Yeah. And then from there, you go into interviews with the guy who, you know, got his ass kicked by Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just basically, I got my ass kicked. Yeah. I got my ass kicked by a guy twice my age. Yeah. And then from there you go. Then from those,
and
videos,
there's awesome scene because the in that clip, that like the ref, you could tell like, hey man, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, ump, I'm you all mean? Right. Yeah, the ump.
Yeah, that is one of the, yeah. Nolan Ryan gets the guy in a headlock and just starts pounding the top of his head. It's hilarious. And then from that vortex, I don't know if you ever seen like the Rich Eisen show. I guess he was a sports guy.
Yeah,
I've seen that show. I've never watched it, but he
has celebrities. I'm a lot of celebrities.
He has, yeah. He's had some great stuff. He had John McGinley talking
awesome,
about
great, awesome platoon stories.
Yeah, talking about Charlie.
Oh man,
Sheen.
He had Rob Reiner and our Kevin Pollak talking about
Don Rickles.
Yeah.
on Casino.
Casino
harassing Robert De Niro just because he could. Yeah, I've never like watched that show, but yeah, there's a million clips that I've done the same pattern from Nolan Ryan fights, baseball fights, Tommy Lasorda like spitting at the umpire.
Throw that guy Zimmerman down when Don Zimmer gets thrown down, and you're just like, oh, that's a 70-year-old man.
So he's like a turtle. Yeah,
but then there's some good like 70s ones, like good like old school, or maybe they're not 70s. Because I remember all the people, so they're probably like 80s, you know, like that era of things that I've, you know.
That's pretty good. I'm trying to think. I've watched some other stuff too, but just like, you know, nothing's really jumping out at the moment, so it couldn't have been that good. I mean, we talked about the Sophie documentary that I thought was really good on Netflix, the murder doc. But other than that, I don't know. Yeah, I think you should leave The Kings. That's what I've watched. I mean, why my wife is forever watching these Netflix foreign sort of, I don't know what they are, shows. I don't know what's going on. Lumen or something like that. No, that was a Joe Greenberg movie. There's one. Lumen.
Maybe I'm not on again, dude. All I'm watching is HBO Like HBO Max. It's like my new thing because I'm watching a lot of like crappy movies that I've watched a million times, but I'll put those on. I've watched some bad TV shows. There's a new.
I know what I saw.
Carla Gugino TV show that they just added that I'm going to check out, where she plays like a thief. And it's like, you know, with the new bad guy and everything, Gus Fring.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I can't remember his name.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's the cold, calculated bad guy and everything. Yeah. I watched a couple of weeks ago, I watched Bullet, right? Then from there, I guess my recommendations, whatever streaming service I was using, popped up Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Did I talk to you about this?
No.
So I watched Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid from beginning to end for the first time in a lot of years. I mean, I've always watched parts of that movie because, I mean, it's the greatest ending, one of the greatest endings ever. But I don't know, like now that I'm 47 years old, you know what I mean? That
doesn't hold up as much.
No. It holds up, but it's completely, to me, it hit me as a completely different movie. That is a sad, sad movie, especially if you've seen it before. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, when I was first exposed to it as a little kid, when we were kids, it was, you know, it's the first buddy movie, right? There would be no Lethal Weapon, Running Scared. Every buddy movie in the 80s comes from William Goldman's script for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It's a direct ripoff of that, or descendant of those. So you remember how cool they were. You know, Paul Newman's the coolest ever. And just the whole movie, everything they do, they're like wisecracking. And you kind of think of it as like sort of a Western light, because then you get, I got exposed to The Wild Bunch later. Forget, you know, probably like a senior in high school, where I probably first saw Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid in like sixth grade. And I remember thinking, like, rejecting Butch Cassidy. That was like, you know, that was
the old school. That was the early 60s.
Right. Yeah. It was like the Mop Top Beatles compared to Peckinpah's 70s era Rolling Stones Exile on Main Street, you know? Yeah. But forget that. Now going back and watching what I remember as like this gentle, light movie, knowing that they both die at the end, and it's just about these two guys who aren't quite old enough to die, but it's very much like The Wild Bunch, but not as like in your face. You know, they have this weird love triangle going on. Butch Cassidy himself is sort of a tragic figure. He's kind of like hanging on to their romance. It's like a weird thing going on there. But if you know from the first frame that they're going to die at the end of this, and they're basically chased. The whole movie, they're just getting chased by a power that's bigger than them. That's going to crush them. There's no way that they can escape. And it just took on a really sad level. And then like all the music, you're kind of like, oh, this isn't really like a celebration of these two wild and crazy guys. It's a dark ass sad movie about, like, you know, these guys that, you know, there's no reason they should die. They're great, you know, but no, they're going to die. It's going to be violent. So
it's funny you say that, because I watched Cool Hand Luke.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that sort of same thing. I noticed a lot. Like, I always thought, you know, took it a much different look at it, and I very much enjoyed it the last time I watched it.
They're much darker.
Just watched it. Yeah,
it's. I feel like the older you get, the more darker they are. And again, like that's what Tarantino was talking about in some of his press rounds. You know how in the 70s, and those are two from the 60s, but I think they started to usher in the 70s revival that happened, or the explosion in American cinema that happened, where it was like a movie could end with the main characters dying. But yeah, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is really one of the greats. I had, like, I came away like it moved me, you know. It's just sad, it's emotional. The scene where Catherine Ross, right, you know, the great young beauty, leaves them basically without saying it, is like, well, no, you guys are going to stay here and you're going to die. I have the rest of my life to live.
Yeah.
And that's it. She's gone. And you're kind of like, whoa, like they're just like the only guys that can't accept it, because they keep, you know, Paul Newman keeps having these fantasies, but they're just like the hand of doom is on them from frame one. So, and Paul Newman's performance in that is, like, I don't know if Paul Newman gets his respect as an actor.
I don't think he does, because he's really good. And maybe I don't give him the respect because he was like a
He's older. He was older than everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I guess I got more into 70s movies, and he was, like you just said, like the tail end
He was definitely like the elder statesman. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, you know, you don't see any like Brooklyn hipsters. I mean, I don't even know if that's a thing anymore.
But also, hipsters... he was a hipster. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think he was way cooler than people actually remember him being.
He was just, yeah. And he's so great in that. Cool Hand Luke, the Sting. I mean, the Sting is just straight up. That's just fantasy.
Well, that movie played on TV all the time. I remember that movie more probably
all the time.
Yeah, that movie was on TV.
He carries, man. He just carries Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. What Robert Redford is just not a good actor. You know, let's be honest.
Well, he was pretty, and I think he was very new too, right? Like he was really.
Yeah, I think. Well, no, he had been in whatever early 60s. He had been around.
Okay,
that made him a superstar. But he works in that role, but he doesn't really deliver lines well. But in that particular role, paired with Newman has a way of, I don't know, they have that weird chemistry. But I don't know. I just wanted to give a shout out to anybody who's never seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It went from light buddy caper to horrible depressed drama, in my opinion. All right, I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll watch some other stuff and get back to everybody.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, and we'll have the more formatted episode, our next one. Like, I wanted to get Matt Maisto here from Mondo.
Yeah.
We haven't had him on in months and months and months and months. But now that the pandemic's over and people are inoculated, everyone's out.
I'm still, like, not leaving my house.
Yeah, is it hot up in your attic right now or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest. I think it's way more comfortable than your situation. Way more comfortable.
I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, I'm in a basement with no, it's just gross. But all right, so I'm Carlos Danger. Come see us September 18th at the CT Horror Fest in Naugatuck, Connecticut, September 18th, 2021. For tickets and other stuff, just search CT Horror Fest or go to the Horror News Network or CT Horror Fest on Facebook. Buy tickets. It's cheap. It's a good show. Listen to episodes from a couple of episodes ago to get an idea of the guest list, but it's good. Who's their big one? Oh, it's the dude from The Thing and not Keith David or David Keith. One, whoever's who. Right? That's the
guy. Keith David.
Yeah. So and check that out. They just added
Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake Roberts. All right. So that's it. We'll see you next time.
Later.